Brother Tim, Miss Linda, back with her tan. If you would, take God's Word and turn to the book of James. The book of James. There we go. James chapter number 1. I know it's only Wednesday, but how many are already? It's just been a long week. Anybody just having one of those long weeks, or maybe a long day, a tough day at the office, or just things just not seeming to go your way? Wednesdays are one of my more busy days. I've started taking classes, going to school, and so every Wednesday I have a test or a quiz, and so I always have to prepare for that. And so when I'm giving the message on the Wednesday evening service, I have kind of two things in my brain going at once, but now I'm done with school, so I can just take that and throw it aside and focus more on this. But we all have our weeks when we struggle through the week, or it seems to be just a little bit more difficult this week. And oftentimes, things come along with that, and more than just our difficult week. Was anybody here, if we were honest with ourselves, maybe just a little bit tempted not to come tonight? Tempted just to stay home and watch it on TV? Yeah, we all face that. But luckily for you, you didn't give in to that temptation. So there's all kinds of temptations that we deal with. And temptation is, I don't know if you'd almost say person to person, really, because as Pastor mentioned, you can't tempt him with sauerkraut. For me, it's olives. If you wave olives in front of my face, I'll probably gag and... it's just a bad deal. So to tempt me with olives, it's virtually impossible. But now if you were to give me some ice cream or something sweet, cookies, chocolate chip cookies, I'll not turn those away. I know when we go to the store, me and my wife, I always make it a point to go down the cookie aisle or the ice cream aisle, and she tries to push me along and to go on past it. But it doesn't always work. Sometimes it does. Sometimes the temptation's too strong, and I just have to buy some ice cream. But we face all kinds of temptation, whether it was to stay home tonight and watch it online, or maybe we had a rough night, didn't get much sleep, and the temptation is our alarm goes off and we want to hit the snooze button, and it goes off again, and we want to hit the snooze button again and again and again, and then we wake up and we're late for work, and then we have the temptation to call into work and say we're not feeling good. All kinds of temptations. Or maybe you're headed to the store, which is popular at Walmart. You're going in, there's a certain season of the year, the Girl Scouts are set up and they're selling their cookies, and maybe you just can't pass by without buying one. Maybe you have your favorite Girl Scout cookie. All kinds of temptations, whether it's a temptation of wrong things, a temptation to give up, to quit something before it's finished, even though you've already committed to it. All kinds of temptations, and we could go through a long list of different temptations and make the application maybe to each and every person and take opinions on which temptation is the strongest. But I don't want to do that tonight. What I want to do is kind of be a fisherman. I know Pastor's out fishing, but make the application in a way that maybe a fisherman would. So not necessarily out with a pole and just one single line in the water, but with a net. Maybe it'll capture everybody, and the Holy Spirit would make the specific application. So we're going to talk tonight about overcoming temptation. Overcoming temptation. If you're able to stand, we'll read a few verses in James chapter number 1. Overcoming temptation. Let's begin reading in verse number 2. Verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Jump down to verse number 12. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse number 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together and open your word, to study your word. Lord, I pray that your people would receive what you have for them, Lord. May we listen on purpose, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would make this specific application in the hearts and lives of each and every person here and each and every person watching, Lord, of what they may struggle with temptation. Lord, help us understand how to overcome temptation. I pray that you would help me to speak clearly, help me to speak plainly. I pray that you would use me through this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So we won't spend too much time here in James. This is kind of really a springboard portion of Scripture. We're going to deal with overcoming temptation. But I want to pull out two verses that we read, make a comment, and then we're going to turn around in our Bible. Verse number two, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. So they didn't say if ye fall into temptation. They didn't say on this certain day that you fall into temptation. They didn't say it might be possible for you to fall into temptation. He says when you fall into temptation. Temptation is going to come to each and every one of us. It may have a different face or a different appearance, but when temptation comes our way, how do we overcome it? I also want to point out verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We all are going to face temptation. And I'd say if we took a vote, each and every one of us would want to be called blessed, and each and every one of us would want to receive the crown of life. Being called blessed and being receiving the crown of life. So let's look at the very first example that we see in the Bible of temptation. Turn back to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. You can learn a lot. A lot of people call it the law of first mention, though we're not looking for the specific word tempting or tempted or temptation. We see temptation here. Genesis chapter number 3. So let's just look at it a moment and see what we can learn from it. Genesis chapter number 3. Beginning in verse number 1. Most of us are familiar with this story. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, that is the serpent, said unto the woman. He said unto the woman. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he is referred to as the tempter. The tempter who tempts us. We know we're dealing here with the devil, the Lucifer, that old serpent. The serpent here, he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, planting a seed of doubt. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Verse number 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said. So she knew what God had said. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Eve here knew what God had commanded her. He knew what God had said. She knew God's word. Verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice this part right here. Verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Here she's tempted. That old serpent, the devil, had planted a seed of doubt. She knew what God's word had said, but yet she was still tempted. That's true for each and every one of us. We know oftentimes what God's word says about a specific area of life, yet no matter what he says, oftentimes we're still tempted to do the wrong thing, to disobey. She was tempted in these three areas. James 1:14, what we read earlier said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse number 6, and when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. She disobeyed, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Oftentimes when we get tempted and we make the wrong decision, we disobey what God has commanded us to do, it helps us to feel better if somebody else kind of comes along with us. And that was what Eve was doing here. She was bringing her husband along, and he ate, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself." Notice these last five words, "lest thou also be tempted." So we see that Adam made the wrong choice here. He didn't encourage Eve not to take it or to put it away. He didn't restore her in the spirit of meekness. He didn't consider himself, and he too was tempted. Verse number 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together." Here we see they're trying to cover their sin. So they were tempted. The seed of doubt was planted by the serpent. They were tempted. They disobeyed. They went against God's word. They've sinned. They've committed the sin. She brought Adam along with her. Now they're trying to cover up their sin. They sewed fig leaves together. They realized that they were naked. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." They were trying to cover their sins. Of course, God sees everything. He sees the heart. They couldn't hide from God. Look at verse number 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Notice verse number 12. Adam's replying to God. "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Sounds very familiar with a verse that we read in James chapter number 1, verse number 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted of God, tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Yet we see Adam here tempted to blame God. A lot of times we can be tempted to blame God for whatever reason. Though it doesn't really add up in our mind, sometimes we can have the temptation to blame God for whatever it might be, something that happens in our life. And here we see Adam with the temptation to tempt or blame God, and he does that. "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Let's continue reading and notice the next temptation. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The next temptation that we see Eve faced was the temptation to blame others. That just comes natural for us a lot of times. Of course, we have kids and they're quick to blame somebody else. Or when you ask, who did this? It's always, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. And nobody ever does it, but somehow it happens. The other day, we had some Easter eggs left over and they were plastic and one was smashed on the ground. And I asked Hallie, who did this? And she didn't really know, but she didn't want to take the blame. So her answer was, well, maybe brother did it when he was running through here. And her immediate reaction was to blame somebody else. And it doesn't matter how old we are, we still have that temptation to blame others for whatever it might be. We want to point the finger, point the finger, point the finger. The temptation to blame others. There are other examples that we could turn to in the Bible. Think of Samson and Delilah. Samson tempted by Delilah. No doubt she was probably a beautiful lady. He probably thought that he had it all under control and there was nothing that could overcome him, but he was tempted. And of course, she tempted him and he lost, and it led to his eyes being poked out with hot irons and eventually he died. Or we could look at Joseph. He was he was kind of put in place over Potiphar's household, kind of the leader in command. And there was a day he was working in the household, and Potiphar's wife came to him and tried to seduce him or get Joseph to lie with her. And he did exactly what we should do. The Bible says that he fled. He left her presence. He ran away. And when temptation comes our way, if we're going to overcome it, we must flee. We must flee from the temptation. There are many illustrations or examples that we could look at in God's Word of temptation. But I think it's best for us if we turn to the greatest example. Of course, that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus being our great example in many things. Temptation's no different. Luke chapter number 4. We're going to see three areas where Jesus was tempted. We are tempted in these three areas as well. Luke chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. Most of us are familiar with the story, Satan's tempting Jesus in the wilderness. But let's begin reading in verse number 1. Verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Verse number 3, and the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Here in verses 1 through 4, we see that Satan is tempting Jesus in his flesh, in his flesh. We can be tempted in our flesh, whether it was to stay home and watch online or call in sick to work, or maybe we want to, just something doesn't really jive with our flesh. It would kind of be going against the grain. Oftentimes, that is the greatest temptation, the temptation of our flesh. Here we see the temptation Satan is putting on Jesus. Jesus fasting for 40 days. He did eat nothing. And he says, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. He's tempting him to eat during his fast. Verse number 5, we'll see the second temptation that Jesus faced. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Verse number 8, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord God, the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We see he was tempted in the flesh, and secondly, we see he was tempted according to his fortune and fame. Now, we know he's God, but he's here in the human form. But he was tempted according to his fortune and fame. Oftentimes, we can be tempted in our fortune and fame, whether it's trying to throw somebody under the bus to get that raise or that promotion that we feel like we're deserving of rather than the other person, or maybe it's the temptation to gain extra fortune by skipping church on Sundays to be able to work and get that extra dollar. All forms of temptation, whether it be fortune or fame. And thirdly, faith. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. Probably the most dangerous temptation that we would face. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, by the way, the devil knew he was the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up. Lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thirdly, we see Jesus was tempted by the devil according to his faith. According to his faith. The Bible say that the angels would minister unto him, and they do. But Satan was tempting Jesus according to his faith. And oftentimes we're tempted according to our faith. Whether it's we have our alarm set in just enough time to get up and read our Bible and pray before we head off to work, but we had a rough night, and so we hit the snooze, and we're tempted just to sleep in a little bit longer and skip our Bible reading and rush off to work. Or we're maybe tempted to skip God's house with God's people and hear God's word. Tempted according to our faith. Tempted, maybe God impresses upon our heart to witness to that person next to us. But we're tempted because we feel like we're not worthy or adequate or don't have the right words to say. Jesus was tempted according to his flesh, his fortune and fame, and his faith. And we too are tempted in all those three areas. But I want you to notice verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 of Luke chapter number 4. I think it's interesting to note when Jesus was tempted. Verse number 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Jesus was tempted when he was weak. I don't know if you've ever fasted for any length of time. I've never really fasted more than probably, well, not a day, so probably about 12 hours. But food's pretty important to me, and I'm not saying I couldn't do it, but it's a huge step of faith. And Jesus here, we see him tempted most when he was the weakest. He was 40 days without any food when he was weakest. We could look at other examples of when they were weak and being tempted, like David. He was still in his home, still in his palace. On a day when kings go out to battle, he stayed home. He didn't think much of it, but he stepped out onto the balcony and Bathsheba caught his eye, and that led to sin. He was tempted by his eyes, just like Eve was. Or we could see Job. We are all familiar with Job and all that he went through, much more than most of us have probably went to. Boils head to toe, losing his family, his fortune, animals, herds, all that sort of thing. But his wife tempted him. She basically said, "Why don't you just give up? Curse God and die." But he didn't give in to the temptation. He stayed faithful to God through his temptation. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." The last three words, "yet without sin." Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are. He was 100% man and 100% God. He faced all the same temptations that you and I face. Yet the last three words of Hebrews 4:15 are so beautiful. It says, "yet without sin." We know he was the sinless Lamb of God, the sinless Savior. He who knew no sin, Jesus being our great example, tempted by Satan three ways, overcame that temptation, yet without sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God's telling us in His Word that there's no temptation that's going to come your way that somebody else hasn't already been tempted with. There's no other temptation that you're going to be facing that somebody else hasn't already overcome. There's no special temptation that is going to be just for you. Somebody else has already gone through it. Even Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are. But the last part of that verse, "but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." So what are the ways that we can overcome temptation? How do we overcome temptation? Quickly, I want to share with you three ways we can overcome temptation. Three ways we can overcome temptation. Number one, we've already turned and read in Luke chapter number 4, obey God's word. Obey God's word. All three times Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus answered with his word. The first two times he began by replying, "It is written, it is written." And the third time he said, "It has been said." All three times he answered. You could turn back, we won't do that now, but you could turn back and read where it was written in the book of Deuteronomy. He used his own word, the infallible word of God, to answer Satan, to reply to Satan. But there's something interesting about that, because God, or Eve, gave the same answer to the serpent. She used God's word as well. She said, "God hath said." Satan, the serpent, first said to her, "Hath God said?" And she replied, "God hath said." She knew God's word, and she replied with God's word. But there's a difference following that. The difference was obedience. Turn back to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. You see, God, or Jesus and Eve, both replied with God's word, but the difference was obedience. Look at verse number 22 in James chapter number 1. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You're not deceiving anybody else, you're deceiving your own self. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." We can't overcome temptation just by simply knowing the truth or knowing what God says. We must obey it. We must obey it. So number one, we can overcome temptation by obeying God's word. Number two, turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22. Hold your place in James. Luke 22, beginning in verse number 39. Second way we can overcome temptation Jesus Christ said it himself. Luke 22, verse number 39. "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them," his disciples, "pray that ye enter not into temptation." Jesus Christ told his disciples, "pray that ye enter not into temptation." The second way we can overcome temptation is to pray. God says you're facing some sort of temptation in your life. Let me hear about it. Speak to me about it. Let's have a discussion about it. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And thirdly, turn back to James. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Two verses that most of us are probably familiar with. Look at verse number 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." The third way we can overcome temptation is to draw nigh to God. Drawing nigh to God. If we're going to overcome temptation, we must obey God's word. We must pray, and we must draw nigh to God. So I want to do something a little bit different. I would like everybody to try and find a hymnal near you. Try and find a hymnal. I love that we sing hymns in this church. I love hymns. I know when I worked at the county highway department, I was riding around one day with my boss, and we were talking about church. He goes to a church here in town, and we brought up the music subject of music, and he asked what type of music I like, and I told him I love the hymns, and he kind of snarled or giggled. He wasn't really fond of the hymns, but I love the hymns. They're so full of biblical truth. They have catchy tunes, and we can learn good Bible doctrine just from the hymns. Obviously, we know we need God's word, but hymns are so full of God's truth. Now, we sang many hymns tonight, and I didn't just flippantly pick them. Each and every one of them dealt with the message today. So let's begin by turning to hymn 579. 579, "The Lily of the Valley," the very first song that we sang, very first hymn we sang tonight. Hymn 579. Look at verse number 2. "He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower." In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. Turn to hymn 259. "I'm standing on the solid rock. hymn 259. Once you're there, look at verse number 2 again. Hymn 259, I'm standing on the solid rock. Verse 2, even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptations hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock. Turn to hymn 498. Where could I go but to the Lord? Hymn 498. Once you're there, I want you to look at verse number 1. Hymn 498. Where could I go? Verse number 1. Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? And lastly, hymn 392, what a friend we have in Jesus. Hymn 392. Once you're there, look at verse 2. What a friend we have in Jesus. Verse number 2, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Here we get the answer. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you're faced with some temptation today. Maybe earlier in the week. No doubt you're going to have some temptation later on in the week. It's a matter of when temptation comes your way. How do we overcome temptation? And lastly, the invitation song that we're going to sing, hymn 394, one page to the right, two pages to the right. I need thee every hour. We don't sing this hymn too often, but the Lord impressed upon my heart this specific hymn a couple months ago. I was really going through maybe a month where I was super busy and trying to do a lot of things on my own rather than rely on the Lord. And he brought this hymn to my mind, just the fact that we need him every hour. But look at verse number 2, verse number 2. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Amen. Sounds like a whole lot like James 4:8. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Each and every one of us are facing some sort of temptation. It's no strange oddity that we would face a temptation. God has said in his word we will face a temptation. But I want to end with 2 Peter 2:9. Turn to 2 Peter 2:9. I'm going to read just the first part of it. 2 Peter 2:9. What a beautiful promise we find in God's Word. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how to deliver you out of your temptations. He has made a way that we can overcome the temptations that come our way. All we have to do is to trust Him for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we do count it a privilege oftentimes that we would face temptations. Lord, help us to see the blessing through the temptations. Lord, we know that temptations is an exercise of our faith, and that works patience. And Lord, that making it through the temptation, we're better Christians for it. Lord, you've promised us in your word that you would help us to overcome the temptations when they come. Lord, help us to rely on these promises. Help us to hold you to these promises. And Lord, as temptations come our way throughout this week and the weeks to come, Lord, help us to overcome them. Lord, through obeying your word and through prayer and drawing nigh to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us victory over the specific temptations that we have in our life. Lord, each and every one of us may have different temptations. And Lord, if there's some other brother or sister in Christ that suffers with a temptation that we don't have a big deal dealing with, Lord, help us to come alongside them and restore them in the spirit of meekness. And Lord, help us to remember that we're always willing to help each other. And Lord, help us to do it to the best of our ability. Lord, being guided by your Spirit. Lord, help us in this area of temptation. Help us to understand all that comes with temptation, the different areas and avenues of temptation. And Lord, help us to resist the devil. Help us to resist the tempter. Lord, help us not to give in to those temptations and commit some sin. And Lord, in those times when we are weak and we're struggling with our flesh, Lord, help us not to blame others, but Lord, help us to examine our own hearts and lives. And Lord, seek forgiveness from you, Lord, that the next time we face that temptation, Lord, that we'd be stronger for it and it might not be so tempting to us. Lord, as we begin to sing here, Lord, I pray that you would just instill these truths in our heart and mind. Lord, help us to sing from our heart unto you. Help us to overcome temptation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.